If you're ever in a building and smoke begins to rise and it's getting kind of scary and it's getting in your eyes, there's something to remember and something you should know. If the building is on fire, you stay low and go. The building is on fire, you stay low and go. If the building is on fire, you stay low and go. One, two, three, four. Smoke will rise, so stay low on the floor. Check for heat with your hand before you use a door. Keep on moving out towards a nice fresh air. Don't take the elevator, take the stair. Don't take the elevator, take the stair. Don't take the elevator, take the stair. One, two, three, four. If you see somebody coming and they're in a fire suit, they got a mask and helmet and a big old pair of boots. Don't be scared and hide, it's only firefighting gear. Shout out where you're at, say I'm over here. Shout out where you're at, say I'm over here. Shout out where you're at, say I'm over here. One, two, three, four, out.
That was Stay Low and Go by Victor Johnson from Fire Safety Songs right here on the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and a little while ago, the kids and I took a trip to Fire Station Number 3 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's talk just a minute about campfires. I am an avid hiker and camper, and sometimes, and I don't know if you guys have had this experience too, I've come upon campground sites where the campfire is still warm or smoking. It seems that people maybe don't understand how to put out their campfire.
It's either they don't understand or they leave it are two things that we see. Sometimes people just throw dirt on it and they don't wait to see if it's fully extinguished. So we definitely recommend smothering it with dirt and with water and making sure that it's fully extinguished before leaving that campfire.
About how many gallons of water would a camper need to really put out a normal-sized campfire?
Between dirt and water, a couple of gallons should generally do the trick. It depends on how much you're burning, how much wood you have, and how far down it's burned. But what gets people is it keeps smoldering, and if there's still unburned material in there, that can really reignite it. So also like taking your shovel and kind of digging it around and like agitating it, because even when you smother a campfire, sometimes there's still pockets, the water or the dirt might not have reached, and then that can reignite it as well.
Do most home fires start in the kitchen?
Kitchens, electrical, we see a lot of fireplaces in the winter, and they don't clean their chimneys. We'll see a fair amount of chimney fires in the fall and winter when people start using their fireplaces again. So a little combination of all three of those are pretty frequent reasons.
I'm sure it's highly dependent because emergencies are supposed to be rare, but generally speaking, how many calls do you get a day and how much does that vary?
And I suppose this is a city of 500,000 people.
So per day, I'm guessing here, I'm thinking about 300 calls per day across all of our stations, some more, some less. So I'll give you the call volume for our busiest truck last year was about 6,500 calls for that one truck. That station ran close to 18,000 calls out of one station.
I've always thought your job seemed scary, frankly. I mean, you're running into places where everyone else is running away. Is it scary?
So there's definitely days where we have scary calls. Those are definitely the moments where we rely on our team members. That's why everywhere that a firefighter goes, we always go with a buddy. You learn the buddy system from when you're very young, and it carries through to a public service, to any public service call that we run. If we're going into a house fire, I know that I'm going in with the guys that I live with at the station, that I cook with, that I train with, that I even, you know, go to the gym with during the day. You're always together. You always, two heads are better than one. And a lot of times we just rely on one another when we get into those tight situations.
So it is scary.
It is definitely scary. There's some scary days. There's some very fun days and some very funny days, kind of like Chief Armeo was talking about. We have a lot of fun. We run a lot of calls and see a lot of kind of crazy things that you wouldn't normally expect, and it runs the gambit from very silly to very scary.
you all are heroes. Everyone in America thinks of our firefighters as our heroes. You are exactly who I want to see when I'm having an emergency. You're the people. So from the bottom of our hearts and everyone listening, we thank you for choosing this profession, which saves our lives. Do you feel that every day? Do you feel the appreciation from the people in the community? Because you sure are beloved.
We definitely do. Just from something as small as someone kind of coming by and saying hi and saying thank you for your service at the grocery store to just the waves on the side of the road when we're driving to an emergency. We get a lot of waves and honks and a lot of thank yous every day. So it makes it all worth it in the end.
You're listening to the voice of Chief Emily Jaramillo and Captain Christian, who they are at Albuquerque Fire Rescue Department Station Number 3. And we've been getting a tour with our kids crew and we're learning about firefighters. Ooh, that's exciting. Is this a call?
Yes, those are the tones that you just heard for a call.
Well, I'm seeing here we have this bright big red screen and we have somebody, a call of somebody who's sick who has an altered level of consciousness. So maybe someone who's feeling a little bit drowsy at their home. And it's actually pretty high tech. We also have an exact photo of their home and a route right from the fire station directly about how to get there. So immediately a bunch of information all at once and exactly what's going on. Pretty cool.
And off they go.
Welcome to the fire truck song, everybody. Are you ready to go for a ride? Fire truck, fire truck. I want to ride in a fire truck. I'm gonna go, go, go. Go to the fire station, say hello to all the firefighters. Isn't it amazing when you're riding in a fire truck? Okay, everybody, grab your hat and your coat and your fire boots. Let's go. Fire truck, fire truck. I want to ride in a fire truck. I'm gonna go, go, go. Go to the fire station, say hello to all the firefighters. Isn't it amazing when you're riding in a fire truck? Okay, guys, we've got an emergency here. We've got to go a little faster, okay? Fire truck, fire truck. I want to ride in a fire truck. I'm gonna go, go, go. Go to the fire station, say hello to all the firefighters. Isn't it amazing when you're riding in a fire truck? We've got to go faster. Wave to the people. Oh, hi, sir. Fire truck, fire truck. I want to ride in a fire truck. I'm gonna go, go, go. Go to the fire station, say hello to all the firefighters. Isn't it amazing when you're riding in a fire truck? Okay, I can see the emergency is right ahead.
Tree. That's Kate Battucci off of Early's called My Hat with Fire Truck. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. You can find a learning guide with this episode at childrenshour.org. Look for firefighters. But one thing I've always wondered is why are Dalmatians, you know those dogs that are white with black spots? Why are Dalmatians always associated with firefighters? Daniel, our junior producer and intern, explains.
When thinking of a fire station, what are the first things that come to your mind? First is probably that big red fire truck sitting in the garage. Next is maybe the fireman's pole, which firefighters used to slide down to get to their vehicles quickly. And of course, there's the Dalmatian, who is very important because they... Well, that one's a little trickier. I can see why fire poles, trucks, and hoses are so important to firefighting and its history. But on television, why are firefighters always shown with their dogs? Where did the Dalmatian come from? To explain that, we have to go back quite a while. The first fire truck with a motor was created in 1905. But before then, firefighters still needed ways of getting to fires fast. To do this, they used fire engines that were pulled by horses. The horse's job was to dash across the roads to get to the fires as fast as possible. And running right along with them were none other than the Dalmatians. Horses can be very nervous creatures and often don't feel too well running towards a fire. So the Dalmatians' first job as firefighters was to act as emotional support animals for the horses who pulled the original fire trucks. However, during their time on the field, Dalmatians also had another very important job. Especially before the 1900s, horse theft was very common, and thieves would often try to steal firefighters' horses while they were busy putting out fires. It was the Dalmatians' duty to protect the horses and chase away anyone who would try to take them. Dalmatians are also known for their excellent speed and intelligence, which is why they were specifically chosen for firefighting work. When rushing to a fire, streets would often be busy, and it would be very hard for the engine to get through crowds of people. The Dalmatians would use their speed and intelligence to help clear a path. And some, albeit unverified accounts, state that Dalmatians would even work to pull people out of the way of the carriages to make sure that they wouldn't get hurt by the rushing firefighters. However, after the invention of the automobile, fire trucks began to use engines instead of horses. But while the horses went, the Dalmatians stayed, working to guard the fire station from anyone who wanted to steal their tools or equipment. Now we come to the modern era, and many people still know Dalmatians as the mascot dog of the fire department. Dalmatians are no longer needed to help clear a path for horse-drawn carriages. Modern technology now keeps fire stations very safe from thieves. So what is the Dalmatians' job today? Well, their modern purpose is very similar to their original one. A Dalmatian's job is to provide emotional support for the firefighters, just like they did for the firefighting horses long ago. Dalmatians, like all dogs, are loyal, loving, and sweet. And everyone needs something like that.
That was Thaniel teaching us about the history of the Dalmatian. Today, we've learned a lot about firefighting. We got to see the inside of a fire station and a fire truck. We saw the tools they use when putting out fires. And we learned about the different kinds of emergencies that firefighters respond to. But if you want to learn more, you should go to childrenshour.org, where we have a learning guide and activities posted along with this episode. Just look for firefighters. We're almost out of time, but we have one more song for you. This is Justin Roberts from Space Cadet. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
Some days I'm just walking along. I've got my raincoat and I'm singing this song. Bunch of gray skies, but it won't be too long until I hear it shaking for some kind of surprise. Awaken with a new set of eyes to show me when I'm feeling in a rut. The doors aren't shut. Give me a fire truck when I'm stuck. Give me a four-leaf clover lock. Give me sirens. Sunny day. When singing, wee-o, 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 give me a fire truck. And my mom says it's okay. It's like the cat stuck in the tree. You gotta let him down.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, playlists, learning guides, and activities for every episode at childrenshour.org.
Today's episode of the Children's Hour was written and produced by Daniel Lentz, our junior producer, with help from me, Katie Stone, and Mackenzie Gronke. Amber Scheel writes our learning guides. You can find this one at childrenshour.org. Look for firefighters.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour,
or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.